producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
America Tonight. Hi, everybody. Happy Labor Day weekend. Oh, what a show we've put together for you. I'll tell you what, I realized this the other day in the course of doing America Tonight. Are you ready for this? I wish we had a drum roll. Brrr. Here's the drum roll. I figured out that I have interviewed, in my career, I've interviewed over 12,000 people, but close to 6,000 people I've interviewed on America Tonight. And boy, I'm going to introduce you to some really interesting people this hour. Jeff Atticott. What I like about Jeff Atticott, he's a terrorism expert, and of course, what are we talking about with the Middle East? The trickiness of Israel, the Gaza Strip, Hamas, Hezbollah, ISIS, and what's happening with Iraq and Syria and the responses and all of the things in between that have happened. And Jeff Atticott has been on this show pretty much almost right from the very beginning. He pulls no punches. He's testified in front of Congress many, many times. He's traveled overseas to train people. And he really knows what he's talking about when it comes to terrorism. In fact, he's a specialist in terrorism law. And his school is St. Mary's in San Antonio. And that's where home base is for Jeff. But he'll tell you all about ISIS, and he'll tell you all about the threats and his really looking at it, what we should do in trying to do the best we can to end some of the threats, if that's even possible. Also, speaking of that, Tom Risen joins us, and Tom is a writer for U.S. World and U.S. News and World Report. And Tom went to school with James Foley, who was murdered by ISIS. And, of course, so graphic, it was virally pumped out all over the place. And Tom talks about how Foley talked to him about Syria. Tom thought about going to Syria and covering and uncovering things that were happening and being there for, you know, to be in war, to be in the middle of what was going on. And Tom talked to him about how tough it was and being a freelance journalist and all of that kind of thing. And so he definitely, in a sense, dissuaded him because because of the funds, Tom didn't do it. And Foley did. And we see what happened with Foley. And he talks about journalists and their role in these situations and how things have changed and gotten very dicey for them and how sad for what's happened to his friend James Foley and what it was like going to journalism school with him and afterwards and their connection and everything in between. Can you imagine the shock of that? Even though you know that he was in these very dangerous areas, you're really not expecting to have that happen. And then also in the show, we're going to introduce you to Dave Taylor. And Dave Taylor has a shockingly cool thing happening. It's called Crowd Funders. You know, there's like Kickstarter and Crowd Funders and all these other things that have popped up where people get money from other people to fund whatever it is they're doing. Well, Crowd Funders is an investment thing because what happened was Dave Taylor said, as so many people would say, to invest in oil, you have to be a millionaire. You have to have a ton of money. And he thought, wouldn't it be cool if you had oil wells where the people could not have a huge salary, where it was only a little bit of money that they would accept. So if you were a millionaire or even were making really, really great money, you wouldn't be accepted into this. And you can own a piece of an oil well, and you're getting, hopefully, it's pumping out oil, and you're getting this mailbox money from that. I think it is so darn interesting. I mean, uncovering him was really, really cool. So you're going to meet them this hour of America Tonight. And as kind of an aside here, you know, because we have been talking about so many heavy, heavy things, I think, with the Middle East and also what's happened in Ferguson, Missouri, and whatnot, and other things mixed in between. I wanted to add this one thing because it's Labor Day and families will get together and football starts if you like football, college football, and you know, then we're back on the road to, wow, it's almost fall. It's pretty much it's here, and how wild is that? What happened to the summer? It just evaporated. I mean, just completely evaporated. Well, one of the things I think in heading into Labor Day is this study that came out that talks about teenagers and sleep. And I thought, you know, I have a favorite nephew, and he is at that point where young Owen has just turned 13 and always comes and visits, and he always wants to sleep in late. Of course, his aunt is not worrying about getting him off to school. But I thought this was fabulous information that the American Academy of Pediatrics says that teenage sleepiness is a public health issue and school should start later, because if we're jumping on schools and we're trying to get kids to learn professions or to move on to college or whatever it is they're going to do, for goodness sake, let's get them some knowledge. But if they're too sleepy to pay attention, their head's down on the desk and they're falling asleep, not good. And 28% of high school students say they fall asleep at school at least once a week. Did you fall asleep at school? I started to think about that, and I think I did. I mean, I don't know that I fell asleep, you know, every single week. I don't know if I did that every single week. But I bet there was times, in fact, I know there was times when I went to school and I was tired, and it was right around that time. And here's the thing. Studies are suggesting that the onset of adolescence, what happens, there's a delay when the body starts to secrete melatonin. And that's, of course, a hormone that tells the body it's time to go to sleep, which is why people take melatonin when they're older. Researchers say that that the adolescent brain takes longer to wind down and fall asleep after being awake for 14 to 18 hours than it does in other stages of your life. And that completely makes sense. It's interesting doing America Tonight at the time that we do it, because my entire life, I was definitely one of those people that had a hard time falling asleep. And they even say that the average time for a teenager to fall asleep, it's really tough for them to fall asleep before 11 p.m. So it's better if they wake up later. And that you have 43% of public schools starting before 8 a.m., but it would be better if they started later. Because then you also think they got to get a bus, they're hustling off to school, so it's way before that. Can you imagine if we had a school where they started in the afternoon and went into the night? It's kind of like in Spain and some other countries where they take siestas. I don't know. It would be wild to have a study where you could have really different shifts, all three shifts, even the shifts that all of us are on right now, and compare that and see what that does to a teenager's brain and how well that, you know, how much the test scores improve or whatnot. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way next. We're booting it to the other side. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Tonight, Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert, joins us now. Boy, Jeff, since the last time we talked, there is so much going on. I think I wanted to start with what happened, obviously, with the Islamic State or ISIS, which whatever they're calling themselves today, and the beheading of James Foley after the freelance journalist, after he had been captured and had been kidnapped for 2 years, just so gruesome, and I think really drives home the point at how dangerous these people are. Don't you think so?
Well, they are, and they're dangerous and they're rich. They have billions of dollars in their coffers, unlike Al-Qaeda. They're getting organized. They're taking some time. They have a lot of territory, of course, under their belt, and they're going to pose a serious threat unless something is done to blunt them very soon.
What do you think the U.S. should do to blunt them?
Well, it's going to have to be, you're going to have to support the Kurds. I mean, we're not going to get boots on the ground. So the Kurds are going to have to be the folks that are going to do our bidding for us. That's the only pivot point that we have, because from the air, we're not going to be able to do much. But if we can support the Kurds with everything that we possibly have, then that will prove beneficial, in my opinion.
How about the idea that Syria is saying, hey, we're ready to work with the U.S. We want to help out. We want to work with you. Hello, look what just happened with Syria. Do we have to cooperate and figure this whole thing out with them?
Well, that's the thing about Syria. Assad's a bad guy. Gaddafi's a bad guy. You know, there's a lot of bad guys out there. But when you set yourself up on your self-righteous horse and think you're going to replace them with something better in the Middle East, history is against you. It's not going to happen. And so this whole campaign to demonize Assad with the Arab Spring, which is all a fiction, exploded in the face of Barack Obama and all the other liberals that were, you know, holding hands and smelling the roses. You've got to be pragmatic. And Assad, of course, is anti-radical Islam. Whatever else he is, he's anti-radical Islam. And covertly, we probably should support him to some degree because the so-called freedom fighters have all been eliminated by Assad and other forces. And so that's not an option. But I would steer away from Assad. I would support the Kurds. The reason we haven't done it in the past is because everyone wants the Kurds to join back with Iraq. Iraq's never coming back together. The Shiites, the Sunnis, and the Kurds are never going to form back, in my opinion, into one national entity. So the sooner we recognize that, self-determination, the Kurds want a national homeland. We should assist them in return for them helping us.
Yeah. So ISIS, the other thing that they're saying is, of course, that they want to go global and that, look out, there are a lot of people that are warning, if you don't think that this can happen in the United States, you're fooling yourself. What do you make of that?
It's all true because, you know, we don't have a lot of jihadists that are attacking using violence in this country. We have a lot of jihadists here, but what they look for is some type of of wind in their sails. And that's what they see with ISIS. They see that the radical Islamic extremist movement is on the move. It's growing. It's pushing the boundaries. And therefore, the recruits are coming from all over the world to join them because they see that victory is in their hands. So, you know, that's one of the dangers. We've had literally hundreds and hundreds of people from Europe, even from this country, that have traveled to the Middle East to join up with ISIS because they want to be on the winning team, and they're encouraging that pivot there in the Levant.
Yeah. All right. Well, one other thing I want to ask you about Israel. So back and forth at the Gaza Strip, the human shield thing, the Palestinians versus the Israelis, another little mini ceasefire ripped up. Where are we heading, and what should the United States' role be in this?
Well, you know, what's disturbing to me is the Obama administration will not strongly take the side of Israel. Yes, you have collateral damage in any war, but the Israelis limit collateral damage. We have collateral damage in our combat in Afghanistan and Iraq. We understand that. But do a thought experiment. If the Arabs put down their guns, there would be peace tomorrow in the Middle East. If the Jews put down their guns, they would all be wiped out. And that's the bottom line, that the Israelis want peace. They are recognized as a nation. They're a member of the United Nations. They deserve the right to exist. And that's the starting point for Hamas, and Hamas will not accept that proposition, and therefore the only way to deal with them is through lawful violence.
Yeah. One last thing. Hamas and ISIS, is ISIS, you were talking about how much funding they have. ISIS is the worst, right, if you were going to rank terror groups?
Well, right now they are because they have billions of dollars. They have a lot of territory. They have more fighters, and they're being left alone. The Israelis aren't attacking them. We dropped a couple of pinpoint bombs, but that's meaningless. We have helped the Kurds, and that was a good strategy on the part of the administration. But no, they're pretty much enjoying and living off the fat of the land right now.
Wow. All right, Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert. He's the man behind St. Mary's down there in San Antonio. Thanks so much, as always. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks, Kate.
And as we were talking there with Jeff Atticott, of course, about the latest thing that's happening with ISIS, unbelievable. You heard him say there, as far as Assad is concerned, you know, which is the worst of the evils? And he's saying that the Kurds are really the people that we need to look toward if we are looking to recruit people to help us with getting rid of the Islamic State, which sounds so ridiculous because of how much funding they have in their tentacles, but we have to do something, and it's not boots on the ground, right? So that means recruiting other people to be part of this. ISIS is claiming responsibility for 3 suicide car bombs that killed 20 in Iraq over the weekend. And then, of course, Syria's foreign minister is saying his country is ready to accept whatever support from the U.S. and whatever else they can do, because they know that they have to wipe them out, that this is dangerous, obviously, to them. So this Islamic extremist group has a lot of people, the chess pieces in the Middle East, moving in, I think, much different directions because they've taken over large areas of Syria and Iraq. They've wrestled away some unbelievable parcels of land that you never thought they would get to. When they hit the Mosul Dam, that especially. And then this march toward Baghdad in Iraq is, of course, completely deadly. So now you have the claiming of the car bombs. So they're behind that. Whether, you know, wherever they grow and where, how far they're going, they have been part of that group fighting in the Syrian conflict. So they already are there. So the Syrians know, Assad knows exactly what they're capable of, knows that they have to be wiped out or they're gone. And that's it. You look at oil fields, you look at main roads, you look at border crossings and these control areas, you look at the military hardware that they have, and it goes back to that funding again, the funding that they have, and what's it going to take to beat this group down? I mean, this is what some would call a credible alternative to Al-Qaeda. Hard to say. You look at the beheading of James Foley and the threat to the lives of other Americans, and specifically one other American. So then what is the response? What should the response be? I keep asking this question over and over again. But this sickening, twisted, awful execution that was recorded and released online for everybody to see, I think, is a very big warning that this is serious and they mean business. It's not over there. It's in our face. And they're putting it in our face. So the U.S. has to act and has to involve people already in the Middle East. I said this the other night on a show, and really honestly, the Saudis have to get involved in this. How can the Saudis not be involved in this when logically they're right there? They're on the doorstep of who knows what will happen, and ignoring it from their point of view is just, I think, as deadly. So it's time to not waste time and time to act. And let's see if ultimately, which seems so strange when we think of what we were doing with Syria and Assad and pulling him out of the equation, it's just a matter of time, it feels like. And this is what many experts are saying. It's a matter of time before ISIS attacks the West. And where will you be? Where will I be when that happens? I mean, this is well beyond anything that we have seen in the past, other than, of course, what happened on 9/11, that horrific day. We don't want any of that. And I think that they really will stop at nothing. And there may be targeted attacks or whatever they could be coordinating. But if you look at what's happened in Iraq, if you look at what's happened in Syria, and then the more targeted strikes that we have, their reaction to that. And let's see what happens to this next journalist. Hopefully he is set free and we do not have another Foley situation, because that was just simply absolutely outrageous. All right, stay with us. Much more to come here on America Tonight.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com, click the blue microphone in the top right corner, and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids. I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
Tonight with a lot of different people from all aspects of this, what happened to James Foley, just so barbaric and heinous to even attempt to watch that video whatsoever. And you think of the kidnapping and now what we've been talking about with ISIS and whatnot, and it feels so personal to so many of us who did not know Jim Foley at all. Can you imagine if you knew him even somewhat, or you were really close to him or his family members, which we certainly have heard what they've had to say in the last week or so. Joining us now, Tom Risen, who knew Jim Foley, went to him for advice, actually. He's with U.S. News and World Report. Of course, you can catch his stuff there. We've had him on before. Tom, thanks so much for coming back on America Tonight. We appreciate the time.
Thank you. Yes, I went to school with Jim Foley at Northwestern's Medill School of Journalism, and Jim was very, very proud to be a reporter, so a lot of my classmates and I have been feeling the loss, and we were really inspired by Jim. You know, people forget, he was kidnapped and held prisoner by Muammar Gaddafi for 6 weeks in Libya and came home and went back to another war zone. So he really inspired a lot of us. And I had spoken with him after he'd gotten back from Libya. And I was freelancing at the time in 2012, and I really wanted to do something big. I was inspired by what he did in Libya, and I'd called him up and I asked him for advice on how to go to Syria, because the civil war there was just carnage, and I really wanted to go and cover it the way that he covered Libya. So that was the last time I'd spoken with him. We had talked on the phone a lot about that, and to see him after he'd gone there and was held prisoner for a couple of years, it was really just a hit to the chest just to hear about that. I mean, we had been still hoping that he would somehow be invincible and still come home. He'd done it before. He survived Gaddafi. I don't know. I was expecting him to somehow miraculously come home.
What was it about him that was he just driven to expose things that were happening to people? What was it that drove him to do the kind of journalism that he did, do you think?
He had been a teacher for a while, and his brother was in the Air Force, so he had had some real life inspiration about how to make the people know how some of the realities of the world that he really wanted to bring home to people. So he changed careers in his late 30s, and he came to Medill, and that's where we met. And he, so he was older than I was, but he wanted to be a reporter. He really wanted to help make people aware of how the world was changing all around us. So he was embedded with the National Guard in Indiana. He went to Iraq with them. And after that, he went to Afghanistan, and then he went to Libya, and he had made this new career for himself as a photojournalist. It was really impressive. And he was just driven by showing people in the United States the realities of the Middle East. We don't know what happens there. He had a brother who was stationed in Iraq, and he didn't know. He had no idea what was going on over there, and he thought that we needed to see this with our own eyes, because a lot of we live a pretty nice life here. We don't have to worry about kidnapping. We don't have to worry about being hit by rockets. It's pretty nice here, and we really don't think about this a lot. And this past week, it's been almost a week since the video came up, and I'm thinking a lot about that, about how we are so comfortable, and Jim wanted us to wake up a little bit to just all of the harsh realities in the Middle East.
Yeah. And, you talked about talking to him about Syria and trying to make the big play and what do you do. And what was it that you were talking about, some of the advice that he gave you when you, of course, wrote about this. And I thought it was interesting because he said, I love this. This is the teacher aspect that you mentioned about him, that he was telling you, okay, well, first you got to start in Jordan or Lebanon, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very... I look at Syria a lot like the Spanish Civil War back in the 1930s, where you have the fascists who were like Assad, and then you have all these other ragtag groups. You're not really sure what they're doing. They're all against Assad, but you have ISIS, and you have this Free Syrian Army, and you have all these other groups that are fighting Assad, but they're also kind of rivals with each other, especially ISIS. So it's really confusing over there. You can't get into Syria as an American unless you're one of a handful of people, like maybe CNN or New York Times. Although the New York Times also has had some casualties of reporters going there. It's very dangerous for journalists. So he said you'd probably have to go to Lebanon and get across the border somehow, have someone smuggle you across. And that's what he did in Libya. He went to Egypt, and Gaddafi was also cracking down the media, so he had to sneak into Libya through the Egyptian border. The free, rebels there had, brought him across and smuggled him to the border. So that's probably what I would have had to do.
Yeah.
And it was very expensive to do that, so the money kept me from doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And you see, so in a sense, because of, amazing reporting that he did, because I've talked to other people as well that had connections to him, and they say that, he was just gung-ho about exactly, you drilled it down, exactly what he thought that people needed to wake up. And, what a terrible way to see this end for Jim and for his family. obviously. And when you first saw that video, you know, there's got to be, as I said, the emotions across the board for so many Americans. I mean, this is, talk about waking people up. This is really, really, I think, become the water cooler buzz, because people are, feel so awful for his family. Can't believe it. You know, now want to move forward and do something. Do you think that this may prompt some people to pay more attention?
Yeah, and unfortunately, it takes really dramatic examples like this to wake people up, because people like Jim knew about ISIS for years. They've been around a very long time. They didn't just appear out of nowhere and take control of Mosul in June. They've been around a long time, and people like him have tried to warn us about this. You know, with his reporting, he said, hey, this is happening here. Okay, I'm watching Entertainment Tonight. But now there's really dramatic examples that make it easy for us to understand this. So that's, his family is in a lot of really tough times right now. But he would have wanted people to be positive about how they can act on this. Like, he was not a gung-ho war hawk. He was not against Islam. There's been a lot of hate speech out there. You know, after his death, they say ISIS is, you know, shows how terrible Islam is, and we should go and bomb the hell out of them. You know, he didn't think that way. And people shouldn't draw that conclusion from his death. But he would have wanted people to realize this is, you know, there's real problems over there, and we can't just ignore them. We have to get involved somehow. Like, he was really proud of how his reporting in Libya had inspired NATO to intervene. You know, people like him in Libya showed the war, and they said this is a terrible situation, and France and Britain and the U.S. intervened, and that, you know, he was proud of that. He came home and he talked about that. So I'm sure he would want the world, you know, collectively to do something, not just, I mean, it's very complicated what should be done, but he would have wanted the world to take notice and do something about it.
Yeah. The other thing is, going back to his calling and your calling and being in journalism school, I went to J school as well, not where you guys went. I went to Ohio University. And I remember that it was all about the career and the calling and the responsibility when you went through journalism school. But, boy, we have a different world now, Tom, as you know. And I think that his death also highlights that. Where are the good journalism folks? Where are the people that are reporting what's happening underneath the rocks? And perhaps this will also, because we're seeing the shape that some newspapers are in and that kind of stuff, and maybe that'll bring some of that back, do you think?
I don't know about the domestic journalism here in the U.S., but I think it should definitely give more weight to the freelancers, because Jim is one of 160 news providers who have been killed since the start of the Syrian civil war in 2011. You know, and most of them are from Syria. Most of them are freelancers. You know, there's the people who represent major news groups represent a very, very small portion, and an even smaller portion of that come from the United States. You know, there has not been a lot of international coverage of this. There hasn't been, you know, a lot of, you know, the freelancers really are the troops on the ground for the media. You know, they're supposed to, you know, the media is supposed to be neutral on a battlefield. This should, you know, generate a discussion of how, you know, we have the Red Cross, we have some kind of Geneva Code. Reporters should be given greater weight, you know, in a conflict zone. Because I, personally, if I was a Middle Eastern radical, I would not want to kill a reporter. That might actually raise awareness about the troubles in the Middle East, and maybe my relatives would be in better shape because there'd be more international aid. And I think that people should recognize journalists are the good guys. We are there to expose injustice. And freelancers should be given greater weight. You know, some freelancers have trouble getting people on the phone and being taken seriously, but they work incredibly low pay for, you know, I didn't go to Syria because it would have been almost impossibly expensive for me to go. Jim was very grateful that he had the Global Post to support him. So maybe news groups like the Global Post and Agence France, AFP, well, who also supported him in Syria, will treat freelancers better and take them more seriously.
Yeah, well said, Tom. Thanks so much. You can catch the stuff, U.S. News and World Report. Tom Risen, thanks. We appreciate you coming on.
Thanks.
It's
the heart of summer across America. Thoughts turn to childhood and long days of fun. Everybody would love to feel like a kid again. An HB extract can be a vital tool in your battle to stay vibrant and young, as it supports healthy blood pressure and circulation while balancing cholesterol. GCN and longtime sponsor HB Extract want to help keep your heart healthy with the 30 bottles, 30 days summer giveaway. Enter to win by visiting GCNlive.com between now and August 29th and click on the contest banner in the top left corner of the page. HB Extract has helped tens of thousands of people worldwide feel good again, and they've done it with HB Extract's exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. Here's to you enjoying many more long, warm, and fun-filled summers free of pain and sickness. Visit GCNlive.com and enter to win in the 30 bottle, 30 days summer giveaway with HB Extract. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Sign up now at GCNlive.com.
Americans, prepare for financial ruin. That is what one of the world's richest men, Donald Trump, said just a few weeks ago. What are you doing to prepare? The problems that caused the last financial crisis were never fixed. In fact, they're even worse now. The total amount of debt in the U.S. has grown by more than 57% since September 2008. The too big to fail banks are much larger, and the massive derivatives bubble is spiraling so far out of control that the only thing left to do is watch the spectacular crash landing that is inevitably coming. If you're a baby boomer with retirement funds, it's time you consider exiting the Wall Street casino and start a cash-flowing international business of your own. There may be ways to preserve your wealth, but history has shown that few things can grow your wealth like having your own business. The crash is coming. Take measures now to soften the landing. Go to babyboomerbackupplan.com or call 888-507-8789. That's babyboomerbackupplan.com.
Does advertising on the Genesis Communications Radio Network actually bring positive results? Let's ask
Thomas Baldrick from Free Strike Eye.
Thomas, talk about customer service at GCN.
GCN is extraordinary in how they take care of their customers. The bottom line, Free Strike Eye keeps advertising on GCN because it works.
If you would like to experience unbelievable customer service, call Lee Wickenhauser at 877-996-4327, extension 107.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Boy, you're going to be so interested in this next thing that we're going to talk about. When somebody sent me a link to this, and I was like, wow, you got to be kidding me. And remember, I grew up in Philadelphia. I've lived in California. I've lived all over the place and all those nooks and crannies. And, of course, now I live in Texas. Can you imagine if you could invest in an oil well? Really, you could do it, and you don't have a gazillion dollars. You don't have to be an oil baron. Don't have to be a millionaire. There is a way, like crude finders. Do you know about crude finders? Well, we're going to tell you all about it because we have Dave Taylor with us from Crude Funders. Finders would be good, too, but funders, crude funders. Hey, Dave, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Hey, my pleasure. I was about to correct you, and you corrected yourself. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to be able to find oil. That's the same thing, too. If I could find it, and then I could go to you, and that would be perfect. But tell us about this whole concept. I think this would be mind-blowing to a lot of people that maybe don't know.
Well, actually, it's a really cool concept for people exactly like me, which is someone who makes a decent amount of money but just never thought that they could do anything like invest into oil. And I live in Texas, and my entire life I've lived here, so I see people, and I see it when I drive to my old college. I see wells everywhere, but I just thought it was unattainable. So one very unique thing that kind of happened is with this whole crowdfunding phenomenon that's hit around the world, It opened up a lot of new opportunities for small businesses to be funded and to find people who are looking and interested in investing. So Texas has passed a law. It's an exemption to the crowdfunding rule that states that anyone who is a Texas-based resident or somebody who has a business in Texas can solicit and make available small drilling operations that are, you know, something under $1 million, or we have accredited side that can do people for projects that are much higher, so up to $100 million, basically. But what we have really tried to focus on and make simple is the ability to, for people to put, you know, $1,000 or $5,000 into a project and feel safe that we have fully vetted the opportunity. We have given a lot higher likelihood, and most important thing is a very high transparency. So that way you see what is going on. You know where the well is. You actually can own a partial ownership into an oil well.
It's so cool. I have to tell you, it is so cool. So somebody puts down $1,000 or $5,000, and of course they're hoping that, you know, this, you're really going to hit oil and you're really going to get a percentage. Does it depend on how, obviously, how much they put in as to what their return would be in the investment?
Well, not really. It's all based on a percentage. So, I mean, if they put in $100,000, if they put in $1,000, it's based on the percentage of the completion cost. So what we've done is given you that opportunity to receive some form of, you know, monthly residual check that comes in as long as the well is producing. So it could be 5 years, it could be 15 years that you continually get mailbox money coming in.
Wow. Wow. What's the reaction been to it? I mean, this is the first, you're the first crude funder that I know of.
We are. We're actually the first one in the state of Texas for sure to allow unaccredited investors to join in. And just so we're all clear, unaccredited means that that the person makes less than $200,000 a year or has less than $1 million in assets. So it's really the majority of people in the United States. I think only about 5 to 10% of the entire population is an accredited investor. So we're opening up an entire new way for people to invest into oil and gas.
And how do you go about the other side of the business, the wells that you're finding and the people that are on that side that are interested in the other side of the opportunity?
Right. So one of the things that makes us very unique is the fact that we actually do care about our investors, and we really wanted it to be more of a buyer side agency. So in other words, we vet the projects before that they come onto our portal. And what we try to do is we have our own on staff geophysicists. We have commodities traders. We have attorneys that all make up crude funders. And so it's really an expert team that goes in there and tries to validate that the issuer or the driller has done their due diligence, has everything wrapped up, ironclad, and has seismology, has all the different things that make an opportunity work. And so what we do is we take and field calls from different drillers. We have some of our people are from Midland, Odessa, have been in the business for 20, 30, 50 years. And so we try to associate the right project with ours instead of just putting it all out there and letting the complete wisdom of the crowd take over. We try to give it a little bit of an edge to make sure that we've done our due diligence.
Yeah, and if you, on your website, you have the Barnett Shale and the Klein Shale, right, and the Permian Basin. So if somebody wanted to invest, they have those three choices. Could they go to one of those areas?
They can. I mean, there's multiple. So it really just depends on the deal itself. So some of them will be in the Permian Basin. It could be the Eagle Ford Shale. It could be the Barnett Shale. We don't discriminate based on what area. What we try to do is just find the right opportunities with the drillers that have a good track record, the area that they're drilling in has a consistent track record of production. So we put them all out there and then let people dictate which project they would like to invest in. So we don't tell them what to do. We just put it available. And so if it makes sense to the people, then they do it.
Yeah. And so from the point of view, too, with oil drilling, obviously, is expensive. And this way they can be drilled. Oil wells would be drilled deeper, I suppose. And because when you do that, then there's higher costs. But the whole idea is you're finding the oil, and then that's that mailbox money, right?
That's correct. I mean, a typical deal let's say a shallow vertical well with somewhere between about $1 million and, or between 250,000 and $1 million. And then there's going to be a little bit more expense the deeper you go. So maybe 10,000-12,000 feet that might get up into the 2 and 3 million. And then there's going to be things like horizontal drilling, which, I mean, sometimes they can get up as high as $20 million for a single well to be drilled. So everyone in the industry always likes to bring in other participants. And so that's why this huge, unique opportunity of letting other people invest in this and letting more people invest creates excitement.
Yeah, boy, that's true. I would assume when you first, when this whole thing came together and then obviously, as you say, you assembled people and whatnot, what's been the reaction to it?
I'd say extremely positive. We haven't really put it out into the marketplace as much as we'd like to because Texas has just passed a law, and the actual expiration of the period for them to contest it ended yesterday. So this is very, very new, and we're still putting our portal together to make sure that this thing is got all of its I's dotted and T's crossed. So we keep it quiet, but yet it's still gotten a huge amount of response just from the whispers that we put out to the marketplace.
Yeah. How cool is that for you? You know, you said Midland, and it's funny. I went to Marfa last year, and I can remember landing in Midland and talking to a guy on the plane telling me, oh, it's just ridiculous what's happening in Midland, how it's just exploded oil everywhere. And that's all I saw. As far as the eye could see, you just saw just tons of wells. And I thought, wow, I mean, this is the deal here. And it's so tough, as you mentioned, to invest in it because you have to have a ridiculous amount of money. But that's what you're saying now. You don't, right?
Well, you know what I love about it is a lot of investments that you see, especially on the internet, is something that's not tangible. It's something that you have to really know or, you know the people who are doing it. And oil in Texas is like breeding. It's just everywhere you look to your left or your right, you see it. So you know it exists. It's a proven model. And what we're doing is we're taking something that, you know, you just could not get into until now, and it's something that you can believe in and put your finger on. It's tangible.
Yeah. Yep, good way to say that. Absolutely, it's tangible. Was it easy to get people to come on board with this? I bet it was.
It was actually behind the scenes. People away. It was really funny because we thought, you know, my business partner, Alan, and myself, we were a little skeptical. We were thinking, oh, boy, this is going to be tough to get, you know, the best of the best of the people in here. And we actually had to turn numerous investors away out of the gate.
Right, because they saw the potential, right?
You know,
because
everyone wanted a piece of it. Yeah, it was kind of funny.
Yeah, you see the potential because you've seen how the whole funding, that whole space has exploded, and this is another interesting angle on it. I like what you had to say, that it's tangible, because that is one thing about investing. A lot of times it's not tangible, so it's hard to wrap your mind around that. But obviously oil is tangible. I hope you strike a lot of oil.
Well, we hope so, too. Our goal is to basically make sure that, at least out of the gate, we have to make sure that this thing is a complete and total success, that we pick the best, and we keep it to a minimal number. So that way, as the crowd grows and people start wanting more, we bring more volume online. But right now, we want it to be accurate almost every single time possible.
All right. I love it. Check it out. CrudeFunders.com. Dave,
thank you
Taylor,
so much.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye-bye.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in 4 delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, 6 vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.